Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Man.
I feel like I'm missing half the congregation. I think half of it's my family. Got a few of them gone this morning, but we're praising God. We're believing that he's going to be healed and it's already taken care of. We know the price is paid.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So we'll let our musicians be seated if you'd like to. Kind of a privilege to be among you this morning. I remember the prayer request we had last weekend for a man that I work with, Ron Shepherd. His daughter had taken off with the vehicle, and he texted me this week late at night. He says, not only is my daughter back, the vehicle is back, and all is well. So I want to just give the Lord a hand this morning.
Hallelujah.
She had taken off all the way up to Texas and said that she had something that just kept pulling her back. And I was like, well, I know what that was. Casting prayers in, just keep rolling it in. Sometimes I like to fight a little bit, but you know the ones that fight the best, that's when we get to brag about the most. You ever notice that? Kind of like prayer requests. We got a good prayer request. You got to fight a little harder. Well, that's one's got to get mounted on the wall. And the reason people mount things on the wall is that's something they can tell somebody about it. You know, we need to mount some testimonies on the wall for the Lord.
That's right.
Amen. Let's go ahead and go to the Word of God, if you don't mind. Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting in verse 10. And she's going to have it on the multimedia. For the Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, you are as this day as the stars of heaven multitude. Lord God of your fathers, make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are. Blessed you have promised. I think I gave you the wrong scriptures. Is that Deuteronomy 11?
Deuteronomy 11.
I'm sorry, I wrote it down wrong. That was my fault. I read it out. That's a different sermon. Deuteronomy 11, there we go, starting in verse 10. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from which ye come out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as the garden of herbs.
Amen.
But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh the water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. It shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all of your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thine oil. I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn not aside, and serve other gods, and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart, in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they be in the frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, and speak of them thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the door post of thine house, and upon thy gates. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place wherein the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness in Lebanon, from the river, even the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, shall be your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he had said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. Lord, you know the heaviness on my heart, the thought that you've given me this morning. I ask you to help me to be able to deliver it in the way you gave it to me, Lord. Touch every heart that's here, Lord. We commit ourselves wholly to you in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I'd like to speak to you this morning. Bind the word for a sign. Bind the word for a sign. The Word of God talks about how we need to bind the Word of God in the frontlets of our eyes and how we need to put it on our doorposts. We need to put it when we're laying down. Constantly, we need to meditate on the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is very clear many times in the Scriptures where Joseph even, when he was talking, or Joshua rather, when he was talking to his men, he says, you know, don't turn to the left side, don't turn to the right, but follow forward and follow this message. Keep the Word in front of your in your eyes. Meditate on the Word of God every day. And all down through Scriptures, constantly the Lord is telling us, meditate on the Word. Meditate on the Word. But if you notice, one of the hardest things to do in the world today is to meditate on the Word. Yeah. I bet if we was to calculate, I've never actually done a search to see how many times he says it, but I'm sure it'd be quite a number of how many times he'd say, don't turn to the left and don't turn to the right. Yeah. You know, there are things that we can do in this life by living by basic life's principles and live a prosperous life, so to speak. If you know how to what time to plant certain seeds into the ground, and you can do those things and you can get a harvest. If you know how to go about going to work when you're supposed to and do your job, you have money to pay your bills. There are basic things that you can do and you can get by. And the Word of God talks about how that your land that He's going to give us is not going to be like Egypt, where you had to do all these work and different things. He said, this is a land where I'm going to bless this land. I'm going to give you the water in its due season. I'm going to give you victory over your enemies. I'm going to give you all these great things. But there's going to be a curse also. If you'll turn over to the false gods, if you start turning over to the false idols, the rain will stop. If you start turning to the false idols and all these things, you're going to have troubles. I thank God for His grace. Can you say amen? You know, my father, I remember anytime I would be doing the right things, my dad would talk about him. He'd say, this is the best old boy you ever seen. He's a hard working. Oh, he's great. But if he told me to mow the grass one time and I forgot to do it, he'll say, that's the laziest thing you've ever seen. A blessing and a curse. You know, God told us He wants to bless us. He wants to do all these things. And there's a limit on this earth that we can do, and we can live a prosperous life. Even in the military, when you're in the military, there are basic training that they can send you to. And the basic training on a basic warfare, you can get by. Amen? Brother Tony, I thought he was going to go right into what I was wanting to speak this morning, last weekend, and he finally stopped a little bit. That gives me a little bit. But you know, in the military, they'll make you do these things, repetition, over and over and over again. They'll make you, this drill sergeant will be shouting at you, screaming at you in the face, all these different things. He'll say, take your gun apart, and you'll take your gun apart, and you say, we've done this 100 times, I've got this. You can take that gun apart, you can put it back together, and lickety-split. And the next thing you know, he gets louder, he gets more loud, and he starts screaming at you. He said, take your gun apart, what's the matter with you? You're slower. And he said, I'm faster. What's that drill sergeant doing? He's preparing you for battle. Because that drill sergeant knows when you're in the heat of battle, if you're gun jammed, you need to be able to do it with your eyes closed while you're under pressure. Amen? Right. Have you ever noticed that you can do some things? I started a new job years ago. I started at Hickory Springs as a pouring technician. And what I was going to do, I was actually going to pour the foam. And I poured every kind of foam you can imagine. The seats, the little thin seat, the cushions you're sitting on, I've poured foam just like that. The car seats and a car, every kind of foam you can imagine, I've poured it. And doing these things, there's a different amount of measurements that you can do. And they would say, now Daniel, this is a really tough job. You need to be really alert and pay attention to what you're doing. And I've got all the paper right in front of me. And I can look at the paperwork and it says this much dye and this much of this chemical. And you turn all of your knobs. And all of these chemicals come from all these bottles, of these big barrels. They all come together and they make a different kind of form of foam. Just a little bit of a measurement, a little bit of a change would make it a completely different foam. And I made a mistake one time. And I made foam probably about as hard as this this pulpit here. And while things were going slow and everything were fine, I had time to think clearly. I could look and it's like, okay, this one here, this notch. This one here, this notch. Because there's no pressure. I can look at this. Yeah, I've got this. No problem. Well, then the foam is, the plant's starting to run out of foam. We need Robido. We need to get things going. They said, Daniel, we need this much of this foam, this much of this foam. All of a sudden, it's a different program. You're trying to look at all these different knobs. What is it? I was under pressure. And when I got under pressure, I found out this is different. A lot of times, that's the way it is in a battleground. When things are going easy and with your buddies in the boot camp and you're laughing at one another and you're talking to one another, sometimes it feels okay. It's all hunky-dory. Kind of like at church sometimes. Mm-hmm. While you're at church, it's hunky-dory. We can play basketball. They can cook cookies. They can do all these different things. It's hunky-dory. It's fun. But you know what? It's whenever you're by yourself and you're going through the struggles of life by yourself, and then the enemy's coming at every angle possible trying to beat you down. Right. That's when you're under pressure. That's when you need to be able to take your gun apart with your eyes closed and put it back together and keep going forward. Amen? Amen? It's whenever you're by yourself and the temptations comes at your mind. You're by yourself when you're going through and you're in a valley and it seems like you feel dead. And it's not one thing. You say, God, I just want to feel alive again. You say, amen? Amen? That's the battle we fight. When you're going down the road and you're thinking, God, did I do something wrong? God, did I err? God, what have I done? What do we got to do? We got to bind the Word of God. We got to put it in our forehead and say, God, I believe the Word. I may not feel you, I may not see you, but I believe you. You say amen?
Amen.
Because sometimes it feels like, I imagine when our brothers and sisters were in the heat of the battle, going to fight in Canaan, going to take the land in the midst of the battle by themselves. It's a different story. Whenever Job, think about our precious brother Job. This was a man that was living for God. This was a man that was burning offerings for his children. This is a man that was serving the Lord. And all of a sudden, everything that could go wrong to a man went wrong for him. It seemed like everything he touched turned into a curse. We're talking about a man that loves God. A man that was serving God by the integrity of his heart, and all of a sudden things start going wrong. Have you ever noticed, just like our brother Job, when things start going wrong, people say, oh, there must be a hidden sin in your life. There must be something wrong. Thing ain't right. You're going through a struggle. You're going through a battle. Sometimes it is that way. Sometimes we do. If we go disobey the Lord, we will get a spanking. But sometimes it's because God wants us to go through a test, because he's going to show the devil what we're made of. Actually, we're going to show what the devil, what he's made of. Because it's him. I said earlier, my dad, he used to be a very artistic corrector. This was a man that you would think he studied college for. He knew how to twirl the whip exactly right every time. He was very good, but he did it not to abuse me. He did it because he wanted to mold me and make me and build a work ethic in me to where I will go to work no matter how hard it goes, how tough it gets. I'll do it. I'll get the job done. I thank God for that.
Yeah.
You know, my father, he would do those things. But you see, he would administer the correction towards the way the problem I was doing. If I was slacking on mowing the grass, he'd make me mow it twice as much for a little while to help me remember. Now, I don't have to worry about forgetting after that, because I will remember. I will cut the grass. And the kids, we'll cut the grass. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord knows how to correct certain things, and he'll correct it in that area. If we start to fall short in a certain area, God will, watch this. If you start to go fall short and someone gives you a little bit too much change at the store, and you say, oh, that don't matter. You hold on to that change, you watch what happens. You'll get your change short over and over and over again. And God will do that to correct you, to show you. You want a short on cutting the grass? Okay. You can keep that extra change. This is what's going to happen. You say amen?
Amen?
Whatever area of your life it is, and you know it's wrong, and you go ahead and do it, you watch and see. God will let you reap what you've sowed on that. Not just once, not just twice, over and over and over again until you've got it ingrained. And then it's a correction.
Because God is, everyone loves a loving God. Papa God, right? Loving grandfather God. God don't have grandchildren.
Right.
No, grandchildren or grandparents, I'm hearing the stories, and I see some. My father, when I was younger, if I would have done some of these things, I don't even want to tell you how bad it would be. I'll see my kids do the same thing as, oh, it's all right. Old doty grandfather. God ain't like that. You go to try to do that same old thing, and he'll lay the wood to you. You say amen? God lay the wood to me if I need it. Because that's what it takes. Love is corrective. Amen? Love is corrective. And if I start to step out of bounds and I start to go short a little bit, I want the correction. Now, sometimes in the middle of the correction, you don't feel that way. We need to praise God whenever we're in the valley as much as we do on the mountaintop. You know, one of the things, the greatest blessings I've seen God do for me is when I'm on the mountaintop and I'm able to help somebody else out and praise and help them during their time of need while I'm on my mountaintop. When I'm in my valley, God's always faithful. He'll send somebody to help me out. You see, man? God administers correction. And what we're talking about is binding the Word of God in the frontlets of your forehead. Well, we've got to hold the Word of God and meditate on the Word, not just in the good times, but in the bad times. Not just when we feel the Holy Ghost bumps, but there's many times when we're going through a valley and you can't seem like you can't feel God for nothing. That's when you still got to bind and pray. Amen?
That's right.
This man that came to me the other day, Ron Shepherd, I talked to the man in the process of a car deal, and he had heard the testimonies of what God can do through answering prayer. You know, God answering prayer. God told him, my first priority is to talk about the Lord. That's what I do with this job. And then I found out he was a deacon of a church. Well, praise the Lord. And talking to this man about what, you know, how I, so, you know, sometimes it's, you don't have to feel the Holy Ghost bumps. Sometimes it's just by walking by faith. And I'm preaching this man. I said, you know what? I said, that's why if someone has a prayer request, they bring it to me. I said, you know, bring it, because I serve a big God. God will answer the prayers. Well, then when I'm in the valley, and I feel like I'm in the valley, here comes Brother Daniel. Remember that prayer request you talked about? He says, well, I'm here, brother. I said, oh, boy. Because you feel so pumped up and so energetic, and you're feeling anointed. You're ready to preach the word, and yes, bring it. Come on, devil, I'll do it. And then when you feel like you're in the valley because you're fighting devils all day long, you feel like you're beat down, they say, hey, I want to use what you talked about. I said, brother, speak just something inside. I said, brother, I believe God's going to answer your prayer. I said, I've seen God answer prayers, not just through me, but through our church. God will answer this prayer, but watch this. And something spoke from inside me. I said, but God's not just going to give you your Jeep. He's going to give you your daughter too. And he looked at his wife, and she looked at him, and she says, that's the kind of faith I like. And I said, well, we're going to have it. And chest pushed out, and they get in the vehicle, walked away, and I'm like, whew. Because there's something on the inside of you that says the word's true. Yeah. Something on the inside of you says, I believe it. But then you got this guy.
Right.
And this flesh guy says, you're in trouble. Because all the salesmen right there in the front, they all seen that. The people that they seen that, this is a deacon of a big church, they seen that. Well, and now they've seen the other. Amen. In our flesh, man, he wants to beat you down and pull away the promises of God.
Right.
I remember when I worked at Planters years ago. I was a forklift operator, and the man that gave me my work to do absolutely hated my guts. Absolutely hated me. He was an atheist, and he was proud to say he was an atheist. And everybody else he'd give their work to, he would slowly give them their paperwork and say, this is the trailer you got to do. And anytime I come up to get my paperwork, he'd throw it on the floor and land right in front of me. I've got flesh just like everybody else does. You've got something inside you that will rise up and say, you need to show me a little bit of respect. Have to bite your tongue and say, God help me. Day by day, I dealt with this man. And he would do that, and he'd throw up my paperwork in the floor. And I said, you know what? I just really prayed for this man. I said, I'm going to pray for this man. This goes on for a few weeks, and after a little while, the man no longer is at work. I can't find him anywhere. And I'm still praying for him. On my forklift, I'd be out there to pray for him. Because, Lord, I want to reach this man. I want to be able to help him. This goes on day by day, and I can't find him anywhere. And I finally talked to one of the upper management. I said, where is this guy? And he said, well, it's something about his mother. I'm not sure. And then no more than I said that, we were upstairs. We looked down, and he came walking through. big old heavyset guy. He walked through, and he was coming through and had tears in his eyes. I went down and talked to him. I said, hey, how's everything's going? I know she ain't been here, and I expected him to be hateful toward me. He told me, he said, my mother's in a coma. I don't know why. He said, doctors have been checking on her. They said they can't figure out what it is. He just come in to get some stuff, something, and he was going back to the hospital. And I was talking to him. I said, well, you know what? I said, I believe God answers prayers, and something spoke up on the inside of me. And I told him, I said, but by 9:30 tomorrow morning, she'll be rising up in the hospital bed. She'll be well. And he said, well, I sure hope so. That'd be great. And I spoke it, but then in my flesh, I'm like, oh, my goodness, what have you done? I said, 9:30 tomorrow, she'll raise up out of the hospital bed. She'll be fine. And I walked away, and I got on my forklift, and then I really started praying. I said, oh, God, I put myself in trouble again. I told this man, his an atheist, that he's really going to blast me now because I spoke this. I told him at 9:30 tomorrow morning, she's going to rise up and go, oh, Lord Jesus, come on down here. I need the fountain here now. And I'm really just pouring my heart out before the Lord, and I feel like I'm in the valley. But I've done spoken, and I've opened my mouth up, and I'm telling God, I don't want to bring a reproach to your name, God. I don't want to. Next day, that whole night, I have to pray. I can't sleep. I don't want to bring a bad thing to God's name. I'm seeking God, and I'm praying the Lord, and I'm seeking. Next day, I go to work. It was probably about around 11 o'clock or so, I think it was. Here come that man running down Planters, biggest factory here in Fort Smith, running down the deal, walked around to me, put his arms around me. He said, I'm telling you something. He said, 9:30 this morning, my mother woke up. And she rose up. Doctors can't even explain it.
Amen.
God can do that for an atheist. He can do it for us.
Amen.
Amen. But you know, myself, there was something on the inside of me that spoke that. This guy didn't believe it. This guy says it'll never happen. This guy says it won't. But you know what? There's things that we have need of. I believe if we can meditate on the word and to keep it on the front of our face and say, God, this is a divine promise of God. It's mine. You said I can have it. I don't feel it, but I believe it. And you speak that word, I believe God will give it to you. Amen. In the military, they teach you that you've got to stay at your post of duty no matter what. You got to face the enemy no matter what. Keep facing the enemy. Don't run. Don't turn this way. Don't turn that way. You stay at your post of duty. And you see all of your men being shot up, and you stay at your post of duty. I had an old friend by the name of Al, and he's about passed on now. He's on his. I went to see him here just recently, and he's not going to be with us much longer. Lord willing. He's an old man. And he was telling me how that he was in war. And he said, Daniel, he said, I remember. He said, one of the biggest things that they told me, he said, you stay at your post of duty. He said, I was just a young man there, and he was in war. And he said that I was told, you stay no matter what. He said, there was a man that always looked out for me, always took care of me, always helped me. I'd start to go the wrong way, and he'd say, get over here. And he said, he'd make fun of him at first. He said, you're going to get yourself killed. The guy just took him under his wing and helped him out. Saved his life so many different times. He said, I remember one time, he said, we were under fire. The enemy was coming in. He said, we've seen our best friends falling down, getting killed. He said, something on the inside wanted to run out and help them. He said, but I knew I couldn't. I had to stay at my post of duty. I had to stay right there and hold my ground no matter what. He said, I kept watching and I kept trying to shoot, and I seen my ammo was going out. I didn't know what I was going to do. He said, the enemy was all around us. He said, but all of a sudden, I heard something from the sky coming. It was help coming from sky. The Air Force was coming down and bombing them, saving their life. I'm telling you, friends, sometimes we may feel like we are all by ourselves on the ground. We may feel like we're out of ammo. What's going on? What are we going to do? People are falling all around us, but there's help coming.
Amen.
You say amen?
Amen?
There's an Air Force coming. I believe that God. Sometimes we can do what we can do on earth, but sometimes we just need God. Sometimes we can do what we can do. There are things that with corrections we can make. Sometimes I just need a miracle. God, I need a miracle today. I need a miracle in me where I can say, I want to feel alive again. I want to feel what I'm going through, where I can see God moving every day. You said, Brother Daniel, I thought you said you did. I want more. You say amen for yourself.
Amen.
I want to see God move more in my life and in the church. Amen. There are certain things that we can do, certain things we can mold and, you know, we can change. But there are some times we need outside a force come in.
Amen.
To help us out. Them soldiers had to do what they could do until help got there. I'm thinking about faithful Abraham. Abraham, you know, this man was a man that walked by faith. And God told him, I'm going to give you a seed, Abraham. Imagine at first Abraham said, you know, I believe that. I can walk and follow God. I'll keep following God. I'll keep stepping. And day by day, he got older and he got older. And the less it looked likely that he was going to be able to fulfill this promise God gave him. No, as he got older, Abraham began to look at himself, maybe going to looking at the mirror, and he'd see, I'm an old man. I'm supposed to have a son. Now I'm 85 years old. I'm going to have a son. How am I going to do it? God, I don't know how I'm going to do it. 90 comes around. 99 comes around. God, how am I going to do it? Faithful Abraham. But you know what? Abraham needed help too. Abraham needed a time where he said, God, I need to know. I need to know, God. How am I going to know when I had this seed? And El Shaddai comes down. You say amen?
Amen.
El Shaddai come down, the mighty breasted one. He would come down there and Abraham was able to nurse off of El Shaddai. Abraham was able to nurse himself back to strength from him and say, oh God, help me. It reminds me of a little baby when a baby's fretting. Saddest thing in the world is the abused child. A child that don't have the love and don't have these things. A child that's nervous and crying and fretting all the time. A lot of times what they need mama to take him and just pull him up to their bosom and melt away all the cares of this world. You see it, man? I remember as a child, I went through a very, very hard childhood. Seen a lot of things and endured a lot of things I wish I never would have had to. And I tried my very best to keep my children from ever having to go through any of that. But I can remember, even in the midst of all of that, one of the greatest feelings I ever felt, no matter how bad it got, my mama could take me and just squeeze me to her bosom. And I knew it was all going to be okay. The whelps would go away. I may have scars, but I'm going to be okay. But mommy can take you and squeeze you right up to you and take all that fret away. We go through battles in this life. Sometimes we go through struggles. And we get wounds. We get cut so deep sometimes. And it's usually the ones that's the closest to you that hurt you the most. It's the one you help the most. But the ones that cut you the deepest. But that's where we go to God. And we say, God, I just need you. I just need you, God, to hold me close. God, melt this away. Take this fret away. Take these worries away. You say, man, he's here this morning. I believe God wants to hold us as a child and take the fret away. Take the worry away. God wants us to be able to depend on him and say, God, I know there's going to be a rapture taking place. We see all these things taking place all around us. I know there's going to be a rapture, but I believe it, God. I'm going into it. People make fun of us all the time. You say,
amen?
People make fun of us. They laugh at us. They scorn at us. There'll be every time there's a lady that'll come in with a long dress and skirts that'll come in, they'll make a joke at me. Oh, Daniel, one of your kid helps, one of your people from your church, but it's not in a funny way or a nice way. It's a mocking way. Daniel, that must be one of yours. I say, well, praise God, must be. She looks holy to me. Yeah, I'll take it. And I see a Mormon come through there, and they said, Daniel, you are just like that. What are they doing? Making fun of me. That's okay. Right. You make fun of this all you want to. One of these days, it's going to be changed.
Amen.
I'm going to be gone. I feel just a tremendous homesick feeling this morning. I'm going to read just a quote. The Lutheran age was the springtime. The Wesleyan age was the summer of growth. The Laodicean age is the harvest time of gathering the tares for binding and burning, and garnering the wheat for the Lord. Harvest time. Have you noticed that in the harvest time, though there is a real acceleration in ripening, there is consequently a slowing of growth until there is no growth? Is that not exactly what we are seeing now? The false vine is losing multitudes to the communists, the various other types of beliefs. Her numbers are not increasing as she would like us to think, but her hold on the people is not what it used to be. And in so many cases, going to church is just a show. And the true vine? What about her? Is she growing? Where are those vast numbers that keep coming to revivals and answering altar calls? Are not most of them merely emotional in their approach or desirous of something physical rather than desiring that which is truly spiritual? Is this age not like the day in which Noah entered the ark and the door was shut, but yet God tarried in judgment 7 days? No one was literally turned to God in those silent days. And yet it is the harvest time.
There then must come upon the scene in this age those who will bring the wheat and tares to maturity. The tares are already maturing very fast under corrupt teachers who turn the people from the word. But the wheat also must mature. And to her, God is sending the prophet messenger with his vindicated ministry that he might be accepted by the elect. They will hear him at the first church, heard Paul, and she will mature in the word until becoming a word bride. The mighty works will be found in her that are always attendant upon the pure word and faith. Amen. At one time, there was a fast growing to the message. People were coming in. There were revivals. There were altar calls. We're coming to a point now where it's a slowing period. We can ask ourselves why. It's because we're at the maturing time right now.
Right.
We're at the maturing time where it's not about the jumping and the shouting and all these things. It's a something on the inside of us, a mature seed on the inside of us coming to maturity. He says, I know who I am. I know who I am in this word. I don't have to question those things. I don't have to worry if I'm a brand of mine. I don't have to worry if I'm all these things. I'm a believer. Yeah. Say amen. One more quote. So where it talks about Abraham. He says, so he appears to Abraham in the name of El Shaddai, the blessed God. One physical healing, the other spiritual healing. Whatever you have need of, just take it from God. Two sources, two places that. And notice, like a mother with her little baby, as I said, when it's gentle, it's sick, the poor little fellow is all upset and lost a lot of weight, but the mother takes the baby to her bosom and she rocks it. And it's getting well, it's nursing from the mother, bringing her strength into the baby. And that's the way it is tonight, madam and sir, you all along here, all of you sick. When you accept God's promise being your personal property, then you'll lean on his bosom. And you're nursing every day strength. Where the cancer once eat you up, where TB was withered you away, where affliction has caught you, Satan's been into your house and crippled you and left you from a fever or something. But each day you're leaning on his everlasting arms with your head upon his bosom, nursing from the word, hallelujah, nursing from the word. And notice, not only that, but the baby who's fretting and upset, while it's nursing, way before it's satisfied while it's nursing. And every believer, every man that cometh to God must believe that he is and a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Every believer coming to God, when he accepts God's provided way, his sacrifice, as he leans upon the bosom of God to trust for his healing, salvation, whatever it may be, he's satisfied. Don't jump about from pillar to post. Not tossed about every wind of doctrine, but he's satisfied. God gave the promise. I've accepted it. That settles it. So I'm satisfied right here. Amen. I have a tremendous burden in my heart this morning for a prayer request. And I don't know what it is. But I believe God wants to answer the prayer this morning. And if you've been fighting something, whether it's something you need deliverance by something, or if you need healing for something, I believe he'd give it to you this morning. If we will approach God with this same attitude, I believe God will give you the help that we're having need of. I want to ask everyone just bow your head right now if you don't mind. I believe God's faithful. I believe he's here. I believe he's El Shaddai. And I believe if you just need an encouragement, if you're needing the deliverance, if you just need that overcoming power, I believe he's here to help you. I just want to ask you, if there's anybody with every head bowed, anybody here that says, you know what, I've been fighting for something, and I want deliverance from this morning. I want the healing from it, whatever it is. Won't you just come forth? Won't you just come to the front right now? We're going to see God answer your prayer. Anybody else? I'm going to open the altar up right now. Let's sing that song with me, In His Time.
In His Time, in His Time, He makes.
Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, you laid it on my heart, Lord, to do this service just the way we're doing right now, Lord. And my brother, Lord, has answered the call. I ask you, Father, that you'll meet every need in my brother's life, Lord. Mold him and make him, oh God, burn in his heart, Lord. Everything out of him that's unlike you, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. My brother wants that refilling, Lord Jesus. I ask you to refill his heart with joy, Lord, with salvation, oh God, the joy of it, Father. I ask you, Father, to refill him with the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. Burn in his heart, Lord, right now, Father. Lord, help him gain ground this morning in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, he's heard testimonies, Lord, of your healing, Lord. Lord, he wants healing from this asthma once and for all,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
Lord, I break that chain right now in Jesus' name, Lord. I ask you, Father, give him a profession, Father, that he will go out and testify his healing, Lord, and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. I ask you to bless my precious sister, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord, that you would help her to rededicate her heart, Lord, this morning, God. And Lord, bring that fire back, Lord. Lord God, that makes you just feel alive again, Lord Jesus, where she can see you moving, Lord. Oh God, I ask you, Father, to, Lord, help us to break the chains that would try to bind her, oh God. Lord, if there's any changes she needs to make, help her make those changes, oh God. But Lord, we're asking for a miracle from heaven right now, an airstrike to come down, Lord. Break every chain, oh God, that would hinder her, Father. I ask you, let that fountain, Lord, move in her life in Jesus' holy name. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, she stands in for her family, Lord, as a mother, Lord. She's held the token, oh God, and Lord, she's done her best, Lord. Lord, we want to live it over to you now, God. I ask you to touch her daughters, Lord, her whole family, Lord. Lord, minister to their hearts, oh God. You know what they have need of, Lord. And Lord God, we believe your word, Lord. We're confessing it, Father, that I believe it, Lord. Lord, I ask you to break every chain, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God this
in your time. Thank you.
ask, is there anybody else that needs to be prayed for this morning? Getting out of that hog farm, and our stress was so high at that time, and we got away out of the farm, and we got want to get away, and my mother-in-law went, and sister Diana went, and they were in a different vehicle with the kids, and we were in the middle of, we got to our hotel, and we got separated, and this is before we had cell phones, and we couldn't find them anywhere, and we were lost. We couldn't find our hotel, couldn't find nothing. We were just so stressed. My blood pressure was just as high as it can be, and we sung that song in his time. We just stopped the car right there. And we said, God, and started singing this song. And it's like everything just stopped. And all the cars just moved out of the way. And we could see clearly all the way down. And seen them like three stoplights down. And they seen us, made eye contact. And I believe that was God, you know. But sometimes we just need a confirmation that, God, I'm on the right track. That you're teaching me the right way. That I'm going the right way. And God, if I'm not, just show me what I need to do. You say, amen.
Amen.
I want to ask Brother Tony to come, and let's not rush this service. Let's praise the Lord. Let's let that worship come down and meet every need.
Thank you.
always, always on time, always to do what he promised to do. Your brother Daniel was talking about the testimony about 9:30 tomorrow. Your brother come out of the coma, and I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know, you have to have that in you before you can do it. Do you know that? I believe Brother Brad will tell you that too. You have to have that inside you, that something down in there. Because, you know, like the scriptures say, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. That means it's in you now. You don't have to go somewhere else to look for it, but it's in you.
Yeah.
That river of living water is within you. And as long as it's in there, in your time of need, he's there. I said, I remember hearing John Hollis say years ago, he said he was always so struck by that parable, or that, not parable, but that situation in the Bible where the disciples was in the boat and the boat was about to sink and Jesus was down in the bottom of the boat. And all they had to do was go down there and get him. Right? They went down into the boat and brought him out. And so that's the situation we're in. You got to have that down inside. But listen, saints, you don't have to understand it up here in your head like Brother Dan was talking about. His flesh didn't believe it. Right? Your flesh will never believe it. That's something we have to come to grips with and terms with. And the Lord's helping me do that, because whenever you hear me say something like that, you know, that it's going to be fine, or I'm not talking about what I think in my head or what my flesh wants to say about it. I'm talking about the promise of God, and that there's something down inside that says it's so. And that's what you go with. You have to bypass all the outward thinking that goes with that and go with that that's down inside you. But it has to be there first. So you want to know God's voice. You want to be able to hear that still small voice. And the way that happens is you seek him. Amen? You seek after God daily.
That's right.
And so I know it's like we talk about the teeter-totter, but the more of the world you have, the less of God, right? Yeah, you can be a Christian, and if you're so tied up in worldly things, then the move of God seems to be really small. Yeah. Like going down the road, and all the fear and all the struggles and everything sticks with you like that. But if you stop and give God time to come forward, next thing you know, his way is there, and the flesh is now what's quiet and doesn't speak. See, you understand what I'm saying? And we have to learn to put that into action in our lives every day, to put God first. Just stop and give him a chance. Give him a chance to do what he said he was going to do. You have to do that. And so you want to have that experience down inside you, so that when those times come, when Brother Daniel gave the example with, when those times come, you can say, it'll be thus and thus. You know, and so when I was standing in the pulpit with Sister Chriswell, and I said, I don't care what the doctors say, let's believe she'll be back in service with us again. I wasn't going by what I thought in my head when I said that.
Amen.
But I was going by something down inside that said it's thus and thus because God said so.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. You want to have that and be able to bypass the thinking and put those words on your lip. Because you know what? A prophet said when you speak those words, it's deity. You believe that? It's deity. And so that's what you want to do. You'll certainly want to do it. Brother Daniel was mentioning about how that is the El Shaddai. He come down and he was the breasted God. And how that Abraham was nursing himself back to strength. And it always struck me. Brother Bram said this. He will nurse you back to health. He'll nurse you back to strength, whatever it is, physical, spiritual. He will nurse you back to strength. You might be sick. You might need healing. You might be in all kinds of troubles. But the breasted God, if you will nurse from him, he will nurse you back to strength. And the thing that always struck me was that while that's happening, you'll be satisfied.
Amen.
Right? So you can be connected to something where you have satisfaction inside, even though you're not completely healed yet, even though the situation still lays before you, but you're nursing from God. And while you're nursing, you can be satisfied knowing that you are connected to the one who's going to solve all your problems.
Yes.
Right? And that's what you want to do. You want to be connected to that breasted God who answers all your needs. You know, I was just really late yesterday afternoon, just really seeking out to the Lord and reaching out to Him in my heart and praying and talking to Him. And I realized something, that for the believer, we have to be broken. In our hearts, we have to be broken. Right? And it's easy for us to be blessed with all kinds of physical blessings. We have jobs, we have income, we have plenty to eat, we have fun and fellowship, we have all kinds of blessings. And in the midst of all that, somehow we've still got to make sure that down inside we are broken and contrite. Because we'll never seek God the way we're really supposed to seek Him as long as we're not. Right? And you know the scripture said that's a great price to Him. It's a great thing to Him that a person would have a broken and contrite spirit. And I realized that last night. I just realized, you know what? If we're not careful, these blessings and all these wonderful things that we thank God for, we do. We verbally, we tell Him, we thank Him for it. But even in the midst of all that, if we're not careful, we won't be broken and contrite. Because the one thing I realized, and the scripture says it, what good does it do if you gain the whole world if you lose your soul, right? What difference does it matter if God keeps us physically with everything we need to eat and all the a job all the way up to rapture? What good does all that do if we never have that contrite spirit? And the reason why I'm saying this is because God will get more done in our lives if we lay before Him in a contrite spirit. Amen. We've got to learn how to do that, because the Bible lets us know that the Christians' lot is to be rejected. To be hated and despised because they did that to Him. And the scripture said, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so, God will answer your needs. I believe He did this morning. I believe God spoke to you, gave great opportunity. Amen. But there's plenty of enemies coming, obviously, we know. But God will deliver you from every one of them that you want to be connected to.
We need your touch again.
he wants to baptize you more than you want him. You believe that? I know our young people. I was thinking this morning, Lord, they got to have that inside. They have to have that experience in their hearts. They've got to desire it. They've got to want it. Because they don't make it without it. God does not have grandchildren. I can name names all through the message. People we know. Staunch. Secure. Believing. Christians. And their children don't serve God. Because God does not have grandchildren. Our young people are up against a great thing in this day. They need that Holy Spirit too. Amen. How many be praying for our young people?
Amen.
Let's be praying for Sister Gloria, Sister Nancy. Believe in God to do everything He said. I was telling someone last night, I said, you know, I believe God's going to bring them back. We have the situation, that we have the promise that God, the third pull, what God expressed through Sister Hattie and I, you know, that was part of the third pull. That was part of the third pull ministry. That was displayed before us for a reason. I wrote it down. Matter of fact, I wrote it last night. The seed of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring. That's what the Bible said. Are you blessed of the Lord? Then your offspring shall be with you. But you've got to claim it. Amen. It made no difference what the devil says. You claim it. Amen. I'd like to sing Psalm 440 this morning before we leave. That's been on my heart this morning to sing it. That we all look to Calvary. Amen. Amazing grace. Shall always be my song of praise. Amen. Hey.